It's such an honor and a privilege to come into your homes and speak the word of God. The Bible says the word is like a hammer. The word is like a sword. So open your heart now as the word of God comes forth.
We have an epidemic where the presence of God is absent in the church of Jesus Christ. And people are satisfied with the crumbs in the carpet where God has destined the fresh bread that comes from Bethlehem, the house of bread. Therefore, I plead with you this morning as the church, as the body of Christ, please don't miss the hour of your visitation. Don't miss the moment of your visitation, just like the religious people did as they prayed religious prayers in the temple for the Messiah to come. And when he came, they missed the moment of their visitation. Why did they miss the moment of their visitation? They missed the moment of their visitation because they expected him to come in a different way. He's going to come in an unexpected way. He's going to come in a supernatural way. I love how my Messiah came into that town. He came on the back of a young donkey. The donkey speaks of innocence. The young donkey speaks of the youth generation. Now, know that there is no age or gender in the spirit. Can you say amen? When I'm talking about young, I'm talking about young in spirit, because I've seen some 80 years old that is more young in spirit than 20 year olds. Is somebody here this morning? So the donkey speaks of innocence. He's going to bring about an innocence upon this generation. They are innocent in his presence. The problem is people have lost their innocence in the kingdom of God. If there is innocence, come on, you love the word of God. If there is innocence, you love the presence of God. When you just got saved, when you just got born again, you were innocent. You didn't care what people think. You didn't care what people say, because you were innocent. When a young lady still has her virginity, how many of you know she's innocent? But the moment her virginity is taken away from her before marriage, she loses her innocence. And doesn't the church, doesn't the woman represent the church in the word of God? Somebody took your innocence away. I know it's religion, tradition, the storms of life. God says, I'm gonna restore your innocence. And the passion you once had, the innocence of a child you once had, that you had in his word, that you had in his presence, you will have again. Lift both your hands, say, Father, restore my innocence. We have to bring back the priority of God's presence in this final day closing hour. It does not be like the religious people that prayed for the Messiah to come and miss the moment of our visitation. You might have a preconceived idea of church, and you might have come here this morning and say, the music is too loud here. These people are too loud here. Don't be like the Pharisees. They expected him to come in a different way. He came, come on. He came in a supernatural way, come on. He will come to your surprise. He's going to shock you. Come on. He's going to make sure all religion and tradition is shaken in you. Come on, somebody. Would you lift both your hands and say, Father, Send the move of your Holy Spirit just as you please. Come as you want to come. We will not miss the moment of our visitation. Quickly turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Luke 19. Luke chapter number 19. And let's read from verse 44. Luke 19 and verse 44. The Bible says in Luke 19 verse 44. And they will dash you down to the ground, you Jerusalem, and your children within you. And they will not leave you upon another. Watch this now. This is the verse I want to get to. All because you did not come progressively to recognize, underline that word, recognize and know and understand from observation and experience. Somebody say experience. The time of your visitation. That is when God was visiting you. The time in which God showed Himself gracious towards you and offered you salvation. Christianity without an experience is just dead science. You have to experience the presence of God. You have to encounter the glory of God. The Bible says when the priests encountered the glory of God in the temple, they fell face down. Therefore, we fall in church. It's in the Bible. Come on. When the glory of the Lord filled the temple, they couldn't stand ministering because the glory of the Lord had filled the house, which means they experienced the glory of God. They encountered the glory of God. They recognized the glory of God. Don't miss the hour of your visitation. Jesus prayed the following. He said, Father, I pray that they will know Thee. And know Thee by experience for themselves. It's not about going Sundays to church and sing a few hymns. And the pastor gets up like a tombstone. Comes ice skating onto the stage. With the deacons behind him. It's about having an experience. When you leave this place and you say, I had an encounter, I had an experience in the presence of God, you really went to church. You really experienced God. Transformation comes by seizing the moment of your visitation. Therefore, we sing songs on the glory. Therefore, we have shifted everything. We sing songs of the glory, songs of the presence, because we place it on the power of God. We place it on the glory of God. We want to experience God. We want to know God. Religion and tradition will kill you. We know Him by experience. You cannot say, I am a Christian if you haven't experienced Him. The only proof we have, we Christians, we born again, is because we encountered Him. How is it possible for a drug addict to come off of drugs? He can go into rehab centers and it will take him literally months. But once they have a supernatural experience with the presence and the power of God, in one moment, their lives can be revolutionized. In one moment, the presence of God can break the bondage, break the yoke. It is the presence that brings transformation. How can you say that? I say that by experience. You're listening to an ex-drug addict. My parents got divorced at the age of 10. From 10 to 15, I lived in the streets and used hardcore drugs. When I was 15, turning 16, I had a supernatural encounter with the presence and the power of God. And in one moment, I was delivered. This is the only hope for our children. Come on. This is the only hope for this nation. This is the only hope for South Africa. It is the presence of God. People standing in the presence of God. People encountering the presence of God. Encountering the love of God. Knowing the presence of God. Being transformed in the presence of God. Being transformed by the glory of God. It's the only hope. Won't you lift both your hands? Say, Father, we will not miss the hour, the moment of our visitation. The Bible says they missed the moment of their visitation. Jesus the Christ was in the city and they did not even know it. Many times we can miss the move of God by trying to reasoning the move of God out. Maybe you grew up in a dead church and now you come to a vibrant church and now you're trying to reason it out because you were brought up in a certain way. You were brought up in a dead church and now this is too heavy. Don't try and reason it out. Just embrace the presence of God. So long as they cut se koppe afsny in die kerk, then you're at the right place. As long as they sing songs about Jesus, songs about the fire of God, songs about the Holy Spirit, songs about the glory of God, you at the right place. As long as they preach the word of God, come on, the uncompromising word of God, you're at the right place. So take your safety belts off. Amen. Get rid of the preconceived ideas and embrace the fire. Embrace the presence of God. Embrace the power of God. Come on, somebody. How will we save this generation without the presence of God? How will we save the drug lords without the presence of God? Because religion and tradition will not do it. We need the move of God. We need Jesus to come and shake this city. Come on. We need Jesus to shake our schools, shake our colleges, shake our universities. Come on. Until every knee bows and confess, He's Lord. He's our Savior. This is so sad. Because Jesus passed by their door while they were begging Him to come. Jesus was passing by their door while they were begging Him to come. We will not miss the hour of our visitation. I prophesy it over this nation. We will not miss the hour of our visitation. The presence of God is going to stop crime in this nation. The presence of God is going to stop violence in this nation. The presence of God is going to stop rape in this nation. The presence of God is going to arrest every foul spirit in the name of Jesus. And then the government will be turned upside down. Come on. And God will give us back our nation. Come on. God will give us back this city in Jesus' mighty name. Jesus the Christ is ready to break out in the bars. He's ready to break out in the highways, in the byways, in our schools, in our colleges, in our university. I'm telling you right now, we are 1 second to 12. The moment the clock strikes 12, we're going to experience one of the greatest moves of God, one of the greatest visitations, like it was in the days of John G. Lake when he started the apostolic faith movement in this nation. Come on, where sickness became illegal. Come on, somebody. How many of you ready for a move of God in this place? I want you to go with me your Bibles to the book of Ruth. And this is the word I wanted to get to. Word for the mothers in this house. I sense the presence of God. I sense the glory of God. Ruth chapter number 1. And we're going to read from verse 1. Pastor Corsi, if you would read it for us. Ruth chapter number 1. If you're still trying to get there, say, wait for me. It's a small book somewhere. You have to look for it. Ruth chapter number 1. And we're going to read from verse 1. Are you ready? Let's read.
In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem of Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab. He, his wife, and his two sons. The man's name was Elimelech, and his wife's name was Naomi.
Yes.
And his two sons were named Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephraites from Bethlehem of Judah. They went to the country of Moab and continued there. But Elimelech, who was Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. And they took wives of the woman of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. They dwelt there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. So the woman was bereft of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in Moab how the Lord had visited his people in giving them food. So she left the place where she was, her two daughters-in-law with her, and they started on the way back to Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find a home and rest, each in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud. And they said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters, go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband tonight and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, it is far more bitter for me than for you that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me." Then they wept aloud again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye. But Ruth clung to her. And Naomi said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." And Ruth said, "Urge me not to leave you or to turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts from me from you." When Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she said no more. So they both went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred about them and said, "Is this Naomi?" And she said to them, "Call me not Naomi, pleasant. Call me Mara, bitter. For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, but the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me?" So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest.
Come on. Now let me quickly recap and just bring it into a nutshell for you. We see here a very sad story. We see Naomi losing her husband and losing both her sons. The greatest tragedy that can happen to any mother is to lose her husband and lose her only two sons. Why did they die? Naomi's husband and two sons died because the bread dried up. Bethlehem had the best bakeries, the finest breads. And the Bible says the flour dried up, the bread dried up, and a famine broke out. And because of the famine that broke out, her husband died and her two sons died. What does the bread speak of? In Hebrew language, the town Bethlehem means the house of bread. The reason they left Bethlehem is because there was no bread in the house of bread. And the Bible says they went to Moab. I'm going to show you what Moab will do to you. The absence of God's presence brings death. I came with a word for mothers this morning. Make the presence of God your number one priority in your house. As long as the presence of God is in your house, your husband will live. Your children will live. Barrenness will not come to your house. Drought will not come to your house. Famine will not come to your house. Naomi, make sure you stay in the house of bread where there is bread. As long as there is the presence of God, as long as the move of God is there, you are safe, you are secure, you are protected. The presence of God will protect you. The presence of God will sustain you. Make sure your children are being raised, Naomi, in Bethlehem, in the house of bread. Make sure they get to the kids' church where the bread of God's presence is flowing. Naomi. Naomi faced a hopeless situation. I heard the Lord say, as I was preparing, He said to me, "Son, there is some Naomis that will be in the Sunday morning service." I heard the Lord say, Naomis is facing impossible situations right now. A spirit of hopelessness and despair has come upon you. You've lost your husband. You've lost your children. It might have not been in death, but they lost in the world. They have gone to Moab, the place of drought, the place of death, the place of lack, the place of scarcity. God is getting ready to bring Naomi and her family back to the house of bread. And you will once again experience the presence of God, the glory of God. I heard the Lord say, Naomi is facing impossible situations in their marriage right now. You're being abused verbally, physically. There's havoc in your house. It's an impossible situation. Naomi heard that there is bread again in the house of bread. I came this morning to give the Naomis hope in this place. You haven't thrown in the towel yet. You haven't quit yet. The Lord is saying, keep on keeping on. Don't quit now. I'm going to save every one of your children. I'm going to bring them into the presence of God. I'm going to bring restoration in your marriage. I'm going to turn your house upside down. Naomi, there's hope. There's hope in despair. There is hope in hopelessness. Is there any Naomis facing a situation like that this morning? An impossible situation that if it isn't for God, you will stay in that situation. There's bread. I'm coming in for a closing. We see the bread speaks of God's presence. The bread was part of the custom of the day and the church. It is symbolic of a demonstration of God's presence. Bethlehem. Brood in die huis van brood. The problem of the day and hour is too many people are standing around the cold stoves, talking about the bread they once had, talking about the move of God they once had. You know, when we were children, our parents were so on fire. Die stoof is koud, mevrou. Die stoof is koud, meneer. Jy praat van krummeltjies in die mat. Die brood van God se teenwoordigheid is nie meer daar nie. The saddest thing that can happen to you is to live in a place where you don't even realize the presence of God has left you. It is the greatest tragedy in life is to walk and live in a place and you know the presence of God is absent. Ikabat. How many of you are hungry for the bread of God's presence? How many of you want to taste the bread of God's presence? You have to be hungry for it. How many of you have smelled fresh bread? In a cold winter season, in the early hours of the morning, I remember my great-grandmother on the farm baking fresh bread in the morning. You wake up with the smell of the fresh bread of God's presence is coming back into the church of Jesus Christ. People will come from afar because they will smell the fresh bread. They will say, Naomi, we have to go to Bethlehem. We have to go to RCC because there's fresh bread of God's presence being made manifest. There is the move of God. The Messiah is in the house. The presence of God is moving. And we're not selfish. We pray that the presence of God will be made manifest in every church in this final day closing hour. Because all we see now is entertainment and show and no move of God. No presence of God. These people have moved to Moab. Just like Naomi and her two daughters-in-law. We see in Numbers 4 verse 7. The bread was the bread of His presence. It speaks about the show bread. It means that it means bread that shows up. Or in Hebrew terms, it means countenance bread. It means you literally begin to eat the presence of God. You literally begin to encounter the presence of God in your countenance. You literally begin to dig in and you begin to taste and see that the Lord is good. Come on, somebody. How many of you are ready to taste the presence? It was a divine symbol of Jesus, the Christ. Jesus says in His word, I am the bread of life. Which means we have to taste Him. We have to experience Him. We have to know Him. The Bible says that Naomi and her two daughters-in-law moved to Moab. I want you to write this down. If you leave Bethlehem, Naomi, if your family departs from the presence of God, you go to a town called Moab. The Bible says they moved to Moab. And Moab knocked their sons and cremated them before their time. The absence of the presence brings death. Moab brings death. If you're in a church, in a place, in a ministry where there's no bread of God's presence, you're going to die spiritually. You're going to die. Your passion for God's presence will leave. Your passion for His word will leave. You will become religious. Therefore, we need the presence. We need Bethlehem. Therefore, we have made a decision to set up home in Bethlehem, where God's presence is being made manifest. Secondly, we see that Moab killed Naomi's husband. You know what's keeping myself and my wife together? We should have been divorced a long time ago. But it was the presence of God that kept us together. It was the presence of God that carried us through the most difficult times of our marriage. It was the presence of God that sustained us. Without the presence, I will fail as a husband. Without the presence, sir, you're going to cheat on your wife. But it's the presence that strengthens you. Therefore, we place such a demand even more. We say, visit us with your glory. Visit us with your presence. We want to taste the bread, for it is the bread that sustains us. It is the bread that keeps us going. Moab will deprive life from you. In the end, all that Naomi had left were her two daughters-in-law, whom she had only known for 10 years. The Bible says she had an obscure future. Hopelessness came in. She said to her daughters-in-law, you might as well leave me. I have nothing to offer you. That's what happened to people that goes to Moab and leaves the presence of God. Hopelessness sinks in. But the Bible says they heard, there is bread in the house of bread. I want to decree and declare this morning to all the Naomis, to all the mothers, to all the families, there is bread in the house of bread. You can once again encounter the presence, the power, and the glory of God. Listen now, this is the promise. The Bible says Naomi came back, but she was escorted by Ruth. Ruth is the never saved before. Ruth is the prodigal sons and daughters. Ruth is the one that's in the clubs, in the pubs, in the rave clubs. Ruth is coming back to the house of bread. Come on. Your children will come to Bethlehem because of the bread of God's presence. Visit us. Listen to me. These young people you see here, they hear because of the presence of God, nothing else. God be the judge. We have bread. We have the bread. This young man over here was an ex-heroin addict. He encountered the supernatural presence and power of God, and God set him free. It's the bread. It's the bread that delivered him. Come on, somebody. It's the bread of God's presence. Therefore, Naomi, I have a promise for you. Ruth is coming. In actual fact, if you go study it, the Bible says Ruth has never been to Bethlehem. They have never encountered the presence of God. Ruth has never experienced the bread of God's presence. It's going to be the greatest day of your life to see your children, your sons and daughters, every one of them, because there's power in a mother's prayer. Come on. There's life in a mother's prayer. And you've been praying, you've been crying out for your sons and your daughters. I have a promise, Naomi. Ruth is coming home. Ruth is coming in.
I know the Word of God has spoken to your heart. Please make contact with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Remember, we are a church for all nations and all generations. So please come and visit us.